In parts. I'm going to read it in succession throughout the text as I go through it. And I want to begin with the first two verses. So let's give our attention now to verse 1 and 2. And we have these famous words. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxiety, anxious toil rather, for he gives sleep to his beloved. And so we see in these words that it's very much focused on our labor. Verse 2 right there, it talks about our toil. And as we approach Labor Day tomorrow, I want you to notice that these two verses, what they're speaking of is the futility of laboring without God. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who labor and build, build in vain. Unless the God is watching over the city for you, those who are laboring and watching are watching in vain. Unless the Lord is a part of your work, you're just going to be laboring in anxious toil and having no sleep at all. In fact, these three things represent, I think, the great motivators, the great endeavors of humankind. Because we're all trying, whether we realize it or not, to build three different things in our life. We're all attempting to build a legacy. We're all attempting to build security. And we're all attempting to build peace or rest in our lives. And verse 1 speaks of that legacy. When the text speaks of building a house, it's not speaking of building a residential building, but rather building a legacy. Have you noticed how often the Bible, especially the Old Testament, speaks of, for example, the house of David? What's it meaning when it says the house of David? Is it talking about the palace that he built in Jerusalem? Well, yeah, partly, but there's something much bigger when it talks about the house of David. It's talking about his whole family, his dynasty, his kingdom, everything his life built up, that is what building a house is. And so in the ancient world, they're using this metaphor of building a house to talk about building your life. You know, we all want to build a legacy, don't we? We all certainly start off that way. You know, as young people, in our late teens and then into our 20s, we are so optimistic. We are going to really catch the world, a tiger by the tail, aren't we? And we're going to build a legacy. We're going to make our life count for something. You know, I read an interesting article a few weeks ago about the crisis that's coming in the life of most millennials. Because, you know, they're not so young anymore. And of all generations, they kind of give polls. The millennials tend to be the most optimistic and idealistic generation. They really believe that they're going to make a great difference in this world. Their life is going to count for something. Well, the article points out that most of these people are getting close to turning 40. And we all know what happens at 40. Midlife crisis. It's when you wake up and you realize, you know, I'm not going to accomplish all those things I thought I would accomplish when I was 20. I'm not going to be as rich. I'm not going to earn the Super Bowl ring. I'm not going to avoid having the pot belly at midlife. You know, everything you think you weren't going to do or everything you think you were going to accomplish, all those dreams just go away. and you suddenly have this great crisis in your life. I think that illustrates what the psalmist is trying to say here, that unless the Lord builds a house, we are laboring in vain. But the ultimate joy that we have in our life is to know that if we labor with God, God will add his blessing to it. Psalm 128 speaks of how God takes our life and he blesses it. And as I read this psalm, I want you to consider that he's blessed, talking about our life being a blessing in a way that we don't normally consider it. So beginning in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor, of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." Now, what he's talking about is a true legacy, the true blessing of life. And what he's pointing out here is that true blessing in life is what we find in people, that it comes from people, and it comes from having God in our life. First of all, in verse 2, he's saying, the man who fears the Lord and labors for the Lord will be blessed. In other words, all his hands work, his endeavors, will be a blessing. But then in verse 3, he turns to his wife, and he says his wife will be like a fruitful vine. Now, a lot of people read this and assume it's simply talking about fertility, that she's going to have lots and lots of children. Well, it probably does mean that in the context of ancient Israel. But that image of the vine speaks of so much more. It's speaking of her being the type of wife and woman that we meet in Proverbs 31. That excellent wife. If the man who fears God has his hands blessed, the woman who fears God has her hands blessed. All her endeavors are blessed by the Lord. And so this passage of Scripture is not only for men who have children, for women who have children. It's for all of us. It's talking about all of us having our lives and the endeavors of our lives blessed. And then it talks about the children. And again, it's using kind of the agricultural metaphor again. The man's going to be fruitful, the woman's going to be like a vine, and the children are going to be like olive shoots. And again, that speaks of being fruitful and blessed and prospering. And so you see this prosperity going through the whole household, the whole family line. The husband is a blessed man. The wife is a blessed man. The children are blessed, all because they fear the Lord and they build the house with him. This blessing of a godly family needs to again be taken in the context of all of Scripture, and again, especially what Jesus says. Because doesn't Jesus tell us that we don't simply have to have a biological family to be blessed? Everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and will inherit the kingdom of life. What is Jesus saying here? Well, he's saying something very radical within the context of Israel in the ancient world. again, they really did think in terms of a blessed household and in physical terms and having lots of kids and having a big estate and all that. But Jesus is saying, you know what? You can lose all that. You can lose all that and you can still be fruitful if you do it in my name. What a great promise that is. That if God is in your life is going to be blessed. What does it mean to build a house with God? Well, it means this. It's to build it for Him and by Him. It's to rely on His strength, not on our strength. And it's to be built for His glory, not our glory. You know, I use the illustration with the boys and girls of a sandcastle. Well, let me use another illustration to help you see what it means to build with God. You know, when my daughters were young, Sarah just turned, had her birthday on the 28th, and Elizabeth has her birthday today. And they're just so close together. They always did things together. And one of the things they liked to do with Dad when they were little is to build these big towers with Duplos. And so we had a big basket of Duplos, and we would get on the floor, and we would start building. And inevitably, they'd always have to call me in because the towers just wouldn't be engineered quite correctly without Dad's help, and they would fall over. But if they would come and invite me to sit down by them as their father, we would build this tower that would touch the ceiling, and it would be quite amazing. I guess the image of what it is like to have God in our life, to build a house with God. It's to be humble like a child and say, Daddy, I can't build a house without you. It keeps falling down. Come, sit down next to me and let's build this together. And so, brothers and sisters, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build labor in vain. Now, the second thing our texts point out is the blessing of security when we include God in our labor. This is found in verses 3 and 4 of our, and 5 of the first Psalm, Psalm 127. Now, again, remember, I said earlier, children actually are used here because they represent something more than just being kids, okay? You know, having kids is a blessing. It's fun to have a lot of kids around the table at the holidays and all that. But the children here are representing something more. They're representing security. So listen to what it says carefully. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children in one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. Now, everyone in the original context of the psalm would have known exactly what this meant. That children are a blessing because they are a security. The ancient world was a world which was, using our old colloquial saying, wild and woolly, okay? It was a dangerous place. You needed to have a wall around your city. And you needed to watch that wall quite carefully because bandits would come in, they would steal everything. It was marauding armies and thieves everywhere. And security was a real issue. There was also no social net, no safety net like we have today, other than children. In fact, we all know how people in the world take advantage of older people. You know, next month I'm turning 59. And, you know, I've really noticed an increase in scam phone calls and scam mail because I guess they think I'm starting to get a little bit senile or something. And they're trying to take advantage of me because I'm a little bit older. But what this is saying here is that these sons are a blessing. And by the way, it actually is sons. It's not just children. It's sons. I wish it would have left it that way in the ESV. Because it talks about going to the gate with your enemies. Now, if you're an older man in ancient Israel, and you're going to the gate, that's where things were decided judicially, legally. And your enemies are after you. Maybe they're stealing your property. They've defrauded you or something. If you go there alone as an older man, you're just going to be taken advantage of. But if you have a whole full quiver of sons and grandsons, and you go to the city gate, you aren't going to be put to shame, because those boys are going to stand up for you. You know, that's the kind of world they lived in. You wanted sons because sons could fight, and sons could stand up for you even when you're old. And so it's talking about security. But that security is not simply in sons or daughters. That security really is in the Lord. That's the whole point. Unless the Lord watches the city gates, those who watch, watch in vain. And so, brothers and sisters, God is the one who is watching over our lives. He's the one who's keeping us safe. What are you trusting in as you behold an uncertain future? You know, unless things change in our society, we're going to be facing a lot of problems in the future. What are you trusting in that future? Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, the third thing that this text highlights about labor is the blessing of peace. That when God's a part of your endeavors, your work, what you're doing, you're going to enjoy God's peace. You can see this so clearly in the first two verses of our opening text. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And then note verse 2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. You know, we live in the most prosperous nation in the world. But we also live in one of the most anxious nations in the world. I find it interesting that the three insomnia champions in the world are the United States, Germany, and the United Kingdom. Now, these aren't the three richest and most prosperous nations, but they're in the top 10. And all three of these nations have so much wealth. And one of the reasons why they're wealthy is that people work very hard in these nations. You know, compared to other nations, Americans' working hours are a lot longer than other nations. The Germans are the same way. They're hardworking. The British are as well. Now, the French, you know, they take off a lot of holidays. And they're so hardworking, and they're not quite as prosperous. But I guess they're not as anxious either. But the text points out that what happens with work is, you know, if we start pursuing only our security and our prosperity through work, we're going to work our fingers to the bone day and night, but we won't have peace. What a blessing it is to know that ultimately the life work that we are doing, the blessing that we're pursuing, it's really in God's hands. Didn't Jesus teach us this in the Sermon on the Mount? I think of those famous words. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. are you not much more valuable than they? And then going on to verse 25, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, amen. We can't be anxious. We have to trust that ultimately it's God who's building our legacy. It's God who's giving us our security and all the things that we need. When we labor with God first in his kingdom, then we can have peace. You know, I think Jesus was a man who illustrated this better than anyone else. You know, the story of him upon the lake, and the storm came in, kind of a Category 5 storm that they have in Florida. And that little boat was being tossed and turned by the waves, and you know, the disciples were just freaking out. They had the buckets, and they were bailing, and the boat was filling up with water. And finally, one of them says, hey, look at Jesus. He's asleep. We better wake him up. And they woke him up, and he was kind of surprised. What are you guys so concerned about? What's going on with Jesus? Well, Jesus knew that God had a plan for his life. And he knew the Father was watching over him, and that his life would not end until that plan was taken completed. My friend, you have a plan for your life. God has given it to you. God has planned out your life, and your life will not end one moment sooner than God has ordained. He will complete the work that he's begun in you. He's watching over you as a believer. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, what you've done is you've asked him to sit down beside you and build your sandcastle. And he's going to take your life, and he's going to bless it, and he's going to bless that castle, and nothing's going to happen before its appointed time. But if you haven't invited God into your life, if you haven't made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, hear really well these words, that whatever you think you're building in vain. Because just like that proverbial sandcastle, the waves are going to come, and that it'll fall down. I like what one of the boys said, it gets undermined and it just starts falling apart. Yes, it will. That castle will come tumbling down. So before those waves do that, make sure that you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, on this Labor Day weekend, we thank you for these two psalms that remind us that as we invite you into our lives, that you will bless our labor, that we truly will have a legacy, a dynasty that will last for all eternity, that we will be secure, and that you will watch over our comings and our goings, and that we do not have to be anxious, that we can enjoy your blessed peace and the peace of sleep, knowing that you will take care of us even in the midst of the storm. We pray that you will make this word alive in our lives today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's give our lives to God and sing that great hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Let us stand as we sing.